Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
Welcome to the Cortland Economics Report, a weekly look at financial and political topics relating to asset-based investing. Guests on this program pay no fees to appear, and guests and hosts disclose any equity interest in companies' profile. Now, the Cortland Economics Report.
Hey everyone, welcome in. You are listening to the weekend edition of the KE Report. Corey Fleck here along with Chad Marquitz. We are your hosts for this weekend's edition and special Thanksgiving edition. I hope everybody, all of our U.S. listeners, had a very happy Thanksgiving. We are going to be talking a lot on this weekend show about the correction that we saw this week in the precious metals, that unfortunately, pretty large correction here that has taken a lot of the positive momentum out of the last couple months, or at least month and a half. And now with gold, where it's trading as we're recording this midway through the day on Wednesday, right before Thanksgiving, it's given up all of its gains for this month. So November looks like it could be a negative month for gold. Pretty shocking when you consider just how much positivity we had just a week ago in the sector. We are kicking off the show with Adrian Day, president of Adrian Day Asset Management, also manages the Euro-Pacific Gold Fund. Adrian, let's start with this pullback in the precious metals. Gold has dropped over $100 from a recent high. A lot of the blame this week is being placed on the fact that Jerome Powell was reappointed to the chairmanship of the Fed, but to me, that seems like a bit of an excuse, because that was, for the most part, expected. What's your takeaway, Adrian, from this pullback in precious metals this week?
Well, first of all, thank you for having me on the show. Yeah, gold. I think you're right. The Powell reappointment is sort of being talked about as a trigger or the excuse. But as you indicated, that was well telegraphed ahead of time. It would have been more of a surprise had he not been reappointed. A couple of things, I think. We were chatting before the show, and you pointed out that gold had had a very, very sharp run-up in the first 2 weeks of November. And so any time you get that sharp run-up in any market, frankly, in any market, that asset becomes vulnerable to a sell-off. And so it just took a trigger. And that's the way I would look at it. I'd also point out that, you know, we had another one of those 8 o'clock sell-offs, 8 o'clock East Coast time, when, I don't know, 3 days out of four, the gold market seems to sell off at 8 o'clock in the morning. And we had a very sharp sell-off Monday morning. And that, of course, was before the Powell announcement. So the announcement came into an already bearish environment for gold. I mean, it dropped over $30 a day, you know, 2 minutes after 8 o'clock. And so the market was already nervous when the announcement came. And I think that's the background that I would put to it. I mean, Powell is hardly a hawk. Powell could hardly have been more dovish over the last 18 months. So there's nothing in Powell's reappointment that should make the gold market nervous.
Well, Adrian, that's one of the questions I had, is that most people were already comfortable with Powell for the last 3.5 years. And when gold actually started running at the very end of the third quarter, when it closed, it kind of dipped down to some dangerous levels, and so did the miners. And then they reversed course into September. It was already on a good truck higher for all of October and November with Powell in place. And the reason that it spiked up even higher over the last couple of weeks was the Fed starting tapering and the hot CPI reading at 6.2% inflation that came in on the U.S. Consumer Price Index. All of those fundamentals are still there. So it seemed very strange for the metals to sell off so hard that in the middle of the morning, like you mentioned, all in a few minutes, just because Powell stayed. He was already a known entity. So all of the inflation is still there. All of the Fed policy decisions they've got to make over the next 6 months about ending tapering and starting rate hiking are still there. Do you think there's anything that's fundamentally changed over the last week that explains such a sharp decline?
We have, of course, had a few more Fed Fed officials, whether they're members of the Open Market Committee or the regional presidents, or even including some former presidents who are a little more outspoken. But we've had several Fed officials increasingly in the last few weeks sort of indicate that we should maybe taper more rapidly. Ballard, of course, was one who said that tapering might come quicker and then we can start to raise rates sooner. And so we've had a little more of that, and the consensus among various Fed officials for raising rates seems to be to raise a little bit more and a little bit sooner. But these include people who are not on the FOMC, and they include who don't actually set the rates, and they include people, they include former officials who may be experienced but don't have a vote on the issue. So I think that set a more bearish tone. But the reality is, as always with gold, when the Fed talks about tightening, the Fed gets nervous. I mean, the gold market gets nervous. But we need to look at what they actually do. And if we look at the next couple of years, the odds of the Federal Reserve suddenly becoming more hawkish, tightening more and sooner, I think is so remote that we shouldn't be concerned about it. I mean, again, if you look at what Powell's done since he's been nominated, he could not have been more dovish. They've made it clear that they're going to finish tapering before they start to raise interest rates. And no one, not even Bullard and others, have contradicted that. They've just said, let's get tapering done more rapidly so that we can raise rates sooner. But they've made it clear they want to finish tapering before they start raising rates. And again, as we talked last time, what is tapering? You know, people are so scared of it. The Fed loves to use these uncommon words, which I think, you know, sort of scare people, frighten people, or just confuse people. But I mean, all they're doing is reducing the rate at which they're increasing the money supply. They're not cutting anything. The Fed's balance sheet, under their existing plans, the Fed's balance sheet is going to be higher when they finish tapering than it is today, and interest rates, Fed funds rates, are still going to be essentially zero when they finish tapering. So that's not exactly hawkish.
I agree with you, Adrian. It is not hawkish, but I think the problem being for some of the gold bugs out there saying, look, I've heard this narrative that gold should be going higher when inflation is up, when interest rates are low, that whole negative real yield environment, which we have. And inflation is at 30-plus year highs. Gold isn't at its highs, though. So that's the big disconnect that I think some investors, too, are just saying, I'm done with this market because every other market seems to be performing better than the gold market, whether it's supposed to be an inflation hedge or not. So what do you take away from this environment where the data does seem to be lining up for higher gold prices, but gold can't break out?
No, you're absolutely correct, of course. And you hit on the two things. One thing is other markets are doing well. Maybe the U.S. stock market is not doing quite as well in the last week as it has done, but other markets are still doing well. And when other markets generally are doing well, people don't see the need for gold. I think that will change. The second thing I would say is, as we talked, Fed talk makes gold bearish. Fed action tends to make gold bullish because it's always too little too late. And we saw this remarkably clearly on, what, November the 3rd or something, when gold bottomed the very same day that Powell announced the timetable. Yes, we're definitely going to start tapering.
That's all just really playing into that whole theory of buy the rumor, sell the news type of event for precious metals. We'll see how that plays out. We are having you back on next segment, Adrian, so everybody stick around. We're going to be right back with Adrian Day.
Al Corlin's firm, A.B. Corlin & Associates Incorporated, provides consulting services to public companies on matters of regulatory compliance. To find out more, follow the link from www.kereport.com. The Corlin Economics Report will be back after this brief timeout.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Cancer categorizes over 100 diseases. Though we do not diagnose, treat, or cure cancer, GCN team is offering the Clemson University study where there was up to a 95% reduction in cancerous cells when exposed to a plant-derived mineral supplement. If you or a loved one are searching for answers to this horrifying disease, come to GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. We'll email you a copy for free. That's 877-878-4203.
You've heard that supply lines are down or moving slow. And that most everything costs more these days. But good news. High-quality Sunny Bay products are in stock and ready to ship now because they're made in the USA. Like our extra-long neck heating pads. They provide soothing relief to painful sore necks and backs, are microwavable, and come in a variety of colors and patterns. What a great gift! An extra-long neck heating pad from Sunny Bay. Also available in lavender scented. Buy now in time for the holidays and avoid any shipping delays. Available on Amazon, Walmart, Etsy, and sunny-bay.com. Just search for Sunny Bay Heating Pad. They're great for men or women, are reusable and easy to clean. So this year, give the gift of pain relief. An extra long neck wrap from Sunny Bay. Remember, just search for Sunny Bay Heating Pads. Order now when our stock is high and shipping is fast. And happy holidays from Sunny Bay.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions. SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
Life can be full of risks. One thing you shouldn't take a risk with ever is your family's health insurance. If you're self-employed or you now need affordable health insurance, you need to make this free call right now and see how the Health Insurance Helpline can help you get it. We specialize in helping the self-employed and people just like you that need affordable health insurance to get it. We have short and long-term health insurance plans, and some even cover dental, vision, and prescription drugs. Don't take a risk with your family's health insurance. It's not worth it. If you're self-employed or now need affordable health insurance, call right now and learn for free how to get it. Listen, affordable health insurance plans for everyone just like you are a free phone call away. So give us a shout right now.
800-670-0946. 800-670-0946. 800-670-0946. That's 800-670-0946.
Now with orders to stay at home, public health concerns, the reality of illness due to pathogens and viruses, your health is at an all-time high risk. That's why it's critical to take a proactive approach to boost your immune system. You can with new nano-colloidal silver from Americare. Our patented process with tiny silver particles, 1/100 the size of a red blood cell, allows for maximum body absorption. Americare's nano-colloidal silver effectively disinfects your body internally, attacking pathogens and viruses while supercharging your immune system. Colloidal silver is antibacterial and antiviral. Simply put, it prohibits bacterial respiration, suffocating viral cells, preventing the virus from replicating. And now, due to public health concern, Americare is authorized to offer our lowest and best price ever, around $1 a day, but supplies are limited. Purchase nano-colloidal silver now at ImmuneSupportNow.com. That's ImmuneSupportNow.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Supplies are limited.
Your week
weekly fix on finance and investing. This is the Cortland Economics Report.
All right, welcome back. Continuing to chat with Adrian Day as you are continuing to listen to the weekend edition of the KE Report. Now, Adrian, we were chatting a little bit, or we ended last segment with some of those comments around the whole buy the rumor, sell the fact news when the Fed talking about rate hikes can actually push the precious metals lower. But then when they actually go through a rate hike can be a bottoming process for gold. Where do we stand in this whole process right now in your eyes?
I think it's that talk in the last week, 10 days, that's maybe made the market a little bit nervous. Well, gee, are they going to be a little more, are they going to tighten a little quicker than we thought they would? The only other thing I'd say, honestly, if you look at the gold market over 50 years, there have been several bull phases with sharp mid-cycle corrections. You think of 1975, 76, it was what? Gold fell about 80%, not 80%, I'm sorry. Gold fell about 40% over the course of 15 months. And at that time, people were saying, it's all over. It was just a recovery from the fake $35 an ounce price. Yes, gold is a barbarous relic. And one by one, gold believers started dropping off. That was 15 months. And I think you get the same kind of nervousness, understandable nervousness, but you get the same kind of nervousness every time, you know, gold has these mid-cycle corrections. So, you know, one of two things will happen, in my view, over the next 6 months. The market will become increasingly aware that the Fed is not going to tighten dramatically. But that won't be an event, right? That'll be an increasing awareness. I mean, I don't think the Fed's going to suddenly say halfway through, well, we've stopped tapering. You know, we're going to reverse course. That might happen in a year or two, but it's not going to happen in the next few months. And, you know, the second thing that might happen is the stock market sells off and or Bitcoin collapses and people feel they need to turn back to gold. I should correct what I just said. I mean, I think there is a very high possibility over the next, let's say, before the end of next year, that the Fed starts to slow down on either its tapering or postpone its planned interest rate hikes or in some way introduce another QE because of a slowdown in the economy.
Yeah, Adrian, we'll have to see how it all plays out, but the Fed has not got a track record of being consistent in their plans. Sometimes they flip-flop, sometimes they change directions. And you brought up the 1970s there. It should also be pointed out that gold lagged a lot of the other sectors, and I'm sure that people in that 75, 76 region you were talking about were saying the same things we're saying now. I guess gold's not keeping up, everything else is racing higher. And then at the very end of the decade, gold shot up past everything. And I would submit that while we are seeing 30-year highs in inflation, gold already had sniffed that out. Let's not forget last year, gold made all-time highs, 50-year highs. So it's not just that it's
absolutely
the highest in 30 years. It was the highest in 50 years. It was the highest ever last year. So to have a 16-month correction after that and digest a gain of that kind of a run from 2019 to 2020 was sniffing out that all this money supply and all this government stimulus was going to create inflation. So isn't that possibly what could happen?
I think you're absolutely right. I mean, last time we were on the show, I said one of the reasons was we were still in a consolidation from that big run-up at the beginning of 2020. No, I think in 3, 4, 5 years, when we look back in retrospect, we'll be saying exactly what you just said.
Well, I think a lot of the gold investors are sure hoping that that is correct, Adrian, because, yeah, unfortunately, there are just other sectors that have done better than the precious metals, and we've even seen the stocks lagging. Let's quickly get your comments on the stocks, because, look, these stocks continue to lag. Seems like it's a bigger picture of gold just being unloved and that trade being kind of secondary to a lot of investors, maybe not even secondary, further back in their minds. what are you looking at in terms of the stocks? Are you being more aggressive with managing your portfolio? Are you waiting to see where a bottom might be? Take us through a little bit of your thoughts on the underlying metals, precious metal stocks, please.
Yeah, a couple of thoughts. One is, let's not forget, when gold does turn, the stocks turn very dramatically. I just happened to pull up Barrick. It's not the best example, but, you know, that was up from $18.37 to $21 in 2 weeks. That's not too bad. And others, of course, did a lot better. So when gold turns, these will move dramatically. They continue to be extremely undervalued on any fundamental basis. The gold stocks, the senior gold stocks, like the XAU, for example, continue to trade very close to their long-term, if not all, on some metrics, all-term lows in terms of valuation, which just doesn't make sense when you look at where the market is. One main reason, of course, as you say, unloved. I mean, generalists are just not interested in gold stocks. And you know, the gold bug community or the gold investing community, you know, they can buy all they want, but they're just not enough of us to really get the market going. You need ordinary, everyday, you know, generalist investors, whether it's mutual funds, institutions, pension funds, retail investors, and so on. And they are simply not interested at the moment. And, you know, it's because of the things we've mentioned. You know, gold keeps going up and coming back again. So those who did step their toes into the water have got disenchanted. And other things are doing well. We know that will change. We know that will change. And it doesn't take a lot of buying from generalist investors. You know, if mutual funds put 0.5% or 1% of their portfolio into gold stocks, the stocks would go up 50 to 100% because the market is so small. So what am I doing? You know, I continue to focus on the larger companies because they are typically the first to move in a gold move and the more certain to move, as we've discussed before. So if you buy Barrick and Agnico and Franco and Osisko, gold goes to 2,000. You can be as sure as you can be of almost anything that those will be up and will be up significantly.
Adrian, we're going to wrap it up there. Thank you for taking the first two segments of this show and outlining your thoughts on the precious metals. Wish it was a bit more of a positive report heading into the end of this year. But remember, a lot of those tax loss selling times are typically at least good short-term investment opportunities. And who knows, if you believe that a bottom could be in for gold and that it's going to go higher next year, then tax loss selling, especially if you have cash on the sidelines, can be a great time to be buying. Adrian, as always,
absolutely,
great chatting with you. Thank you again for taking time on this weekend show. I hope you have a great rest of your weekend.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
To find out more about today's guests, visit us on the web at www.kereport.com. You're listening to the Corlin Economics Report. We'll be back in a moment.
You are listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Jake was in big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
$92,000.
Ouch. The IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks. So it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So how'd it go for Jake?
Did what they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes, take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management Hotline now. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.
We'll be right back. USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
Concerns about a new COVID variant. Dr. Anthony Fauci says it does seem to be spreading at, in his words, a reasonably rapid rate, telling CNN U.S. scientists are busy working with those in South Africa, where this new variant was first detected, to study the Omicron variant. Concerns about it had the Dow Jones seeing its worst day of the year yesterday, losing over 900 points. A fan in New York City saying at this news, Broadway's lights are shining a little less brightly. Here's more from USA Radio's Wendy King.
Composer Stephen Sondheim has passed away at the age of 91. Five of his shows won Tony Awards for Best Musical. A new film adaptation of his musical West Side Story is scheduled to have its world premiere on Monday.
This is USA Radio News. In Waukesha, Wisconsin, they'll be holding observances in honor of last week's parade attack victims. Tomorrow, Mayor Sean Riley and city council members will hold a moment of silence at 4:39 p.m. local time, which is the moment when a driver used his vehicle to plow into participants in a Christmas parade. Six people died of their injuries. More than 60 people were hurt. Now, today, Saturday, city council members are going to be in neighborhoods handing out blue light bulbs for community members to turn on in their homes for the rest of the holiday season in a show of citywide solidarity. Immigration policy will be back in the spotlight this upcoming week when lawmakers are back in Washington. They've been tucked into President Biden's social spending bill. The Republican Texas Senator John Cornyn says he doesn't think they'll stay there for long.
The immigration provisions will not survive the parliamentarian, and the Democrats know that.
This is USA Radio News.
Extendivite really works. Here are some reviews from Amazon.com. John Hess, 5 out of 5 stars. Awesome. Probably my only review, but at age 40, I was getting bad heart throb and left arm pain, mainly before bed. I even stopped smoking and drinking sodas for a month, and that didn't work. After one day of taking Extendivite, it was gone and hasn't returned in 3 years. I've ordered Extendivite 13 times, so Amazon just said. Juliet Hordick. I've ordered this product before in liquid form. It is fantastic. My whole family's been on it. To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit our website at heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Providing unique reporting on markets and companies since 1990. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
All right, welcome back. Continuing to listen to the weekend edition of the KE Report. I hope everybody enjoyed those first two segments where we really did just focus on the precious metals market as we chatted with Adrian Day. We're going to shift our focus a little bit now to the broad U.S. equity markets as we are chatting with Dana Lyons, fund manager based out of Chicago, also editor over at the Lion Share Pro website. One thing I should note, too, is that Dana is doing a Black Friday sale, 35% off the Lion Share Pro website. This is the biggest sale that Dana runs every year. And Dana, I have to say, throughout this year, and we have you on about every 2 weeks, you've been spot on when it comes to the U.S. equity markets and other sectors. We've looked at international markets. We've also talked about the metals markets. You don't care what you invest in. You just go to your models and make sure your models are pointing to a more bullish outlook. And yeah, as I said, boy, oh boy, you have been pretty much spot on this year. So kudos to you, but hey, let's follow up on this and start off with the U.S. equity markets. This week, shortened trading week, the market's relatively flat. We are recording this late in the day on Wednesday, right before Thanksgiving. The argument being for some of these U.S. equity markets is that if they're not up every week, people start to say, oh, the momentum is waning. Maybe a top is in place. Last time we had you on, just a couple weeks ago, though, you did outline a more bullish outlook for these markets. What are you seeing now, Dana?
Yeah, that's right. First off, thank you for the kind words. Much appreciated. As far as the market, yeah, we have been lining up for a after the much talk about two-way market, the sideways market that we're in since basically late spring. We had been lining up for a nice intermediate term low and more of a sustained breakout and up move. We still think we're lining up for that. There have been some flies in the ointment, despite most of our quantitative measures being in a bullish stance, as there always are. There's always something to worry about, which, as I mentioned before, that makes the post-election rally of last year so unusual. There was nothing to complain about. Everything was pretty much aligned to the bullish side, at least after the rally got going. It caught a lot of people off guard who were not expecting it going into the election. They were expecting chaos, but once that got going, everything was clicking on all cylinders. Now, last time we talked, we did outline a bullish scenario, which I think is still shaping up. As I mentioned, there are always some things to worry about. One thing at the time I mentioned a couple weeks ago was high yield. The action in the high yield market was not very constructive, and it remains unconstructive, hitting new lows for the last several months. So that was one area that has been, that was a bit of a red flag that we weren't necessarily ready to blast off yet. Another, for us, the most important fly in the ointment was the fact that our quantitative model, well, it looked like it was about to turn bullish. And again, it's an intermediate term model. So basically the signals are like from 2 to 8 months in general. And that was mostly bullish, except for one key breadth indicator, which refused to budge. And indeed, we've seen markets pull back over the last few weeks, despite that much, that transparent, obvious breakout in the small cap averages a couple weeks ago. We pulled back over the last few weeks, and just a good reminder to me that our objective quantitative models are always smarter than we are as we see things. We're not immune to human natural feelings as investors, and that's why we designed the models to be, you know, quantitative and objective. And they were giving us a heads up that that not all the breath signals were lined up for, you know, escape velocity. We're not ready for that sustained breakout and new uplift in the bull market just yet. And we've seen breath deteriorate since then. We're seeing proliferation in new lows, which is a concern, a genuine concern. One caveat is that there are about 60% more issues traded now than there were about 16 months ago. So the number of new lows is not as concerning as the percentage of new lows, but it's still elevated. So still something to concern about. Like I said, there's always something to worry about. And right now we do have a couple of things, but overall we are still aligning ourselves for that next bull leg up. And we've been buying some more on this recent dip and covering some of our hedges as well.
Well, Dana, when you see the market breadth being not as healthy, and some have said the markets are racing to new highs in the indexes, but on a deteriorating foundation. And when you see the number of new lows rising and the percentage of new lows rising, but at the same time, you mentioned that run in the small cap stocks that started, and it seemed like a pretty obvious setup. It had based for a long time. Could there be a rotation out of some of these larger index names and some of these high flying mania stocks into the smaller caps? And would that address all of those issues, the market breadth? Would it take some of those struggling small caps and boost them up? Could that be a trend that we see develop?
Yeah, I think that's a good point. One thing that we have been seeing, you know, almost all year is this constant rotation where you've had in favor areas of the market for a while is technology and healthcare. Then those went out of favor. You had some new leaders take hold, financials and materials, consumer discretionary, what have you. And you've had this ping-ponging rotational effect going on. And certainly that could be one thing we're seeing now. We certainly saw those large cap averages, the NASDAQ, the large cap growth indices, several of those indices running into even earlier this week, even almost now, running into some of those at least short-term Fibonacci extension lines from the recent correction, which just an indication of short-term extended status, even as, you know, the breath was indicative of more, maybe more broader and smaller cap pullback in those areas of the market. Now, as you mentioned, that obvious and well-publicized breakout in the small caps and broad market a couple of weeks ago, which I would say is not, despite the pullback of late, that has not been nullified. I think all we're seeing now is a unsurprising pullback in an immediate failure in that breakout to pull back and test that breakout level, or at least test the launch level in those broader and smaller and mid-cap averages. So not unusual to see those quote-unquote breakouts fail, at least in the short term, and come back and test those breakout levels or launch levels. And we would argue probably gearing up for at least a successful test, successful hold, and then maybe a more sustainable launch going forward, which presumably would be associated with or accompanied by, you know, improving breath statistics and manifested better breath, better internal statistics, and maybe rebuild that foundation underneath the market. So we would not be surprised, certainly, to see that. And in general, despite the more recent breath concerns, and on a longer term scale, still the breath picture is pretty good. It's like looking at the a bigger picture of the indices. You know, overall, we're still getting higher highs, higher lows. So, short term, yeah, it has been a concern. In the grand scheme of things, nothing has changed our mind that, we're still in an intermediate term bull market here.
Okay. Dana, always great chatting with you. Thank you for sharing your insights on these markets as we set up to turn the corner into next year. We still have to deal with December, but boy, oh boy, this year has been already very, very good for U.S. equity markets. And on the back end of this, not very good for precious metals investors. Maybe we'll see a different environment 2022, but we'll definitely be chatting with you and keeping up to date. Remember, Dana is running that Black Friday special over at the Lion's Share website. I will post a link to that within the weekend show posting. Dana, again, thank you for your time this weekend.
Always a pleasure. Thanks, guys.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. I started fighting the IRS over 40 years ago when they tried to seize my mother's house. I sued the IRS and won. I beat the IRS then, and I've been beating them ever since. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I've helped thousands of people deal with tax problems they thought might never be solved. I can help you too. If you owe taxes you can't pay, don't wait another day. There's no such thing as a hopeless tax case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com, danpilla.com.
Hi, I'm Dr. Joel Wallach, the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy, formerly Air Force Lieutenant Colonel, Air National Guard and Reservist. I'm looking for veterans, active duty military personnel to join the 90 for Life crusade to save America. She needs your skills, courage, and loyalty more than ever. Contact GCMteam.com. Because of the financial and healthcare collapse, veterans are currently struggling finding jobs. Frustrated looking for a job? Change your tactics. Join the 90 for Life crusade to save America. Start a healthcare business with FDI Longevity 90 for Life crusade. Contact GCMteam.com. Immediately. We're looking for military specialists who can use a computer and communicate information and execute a battle plan. Join the admirals, Navy SEALs, Marines, pilots, Army officers, military police, sheriffs, police officers, firemen, and first responders already enrolled in the 90 for Life Crusade. Contact GCNteam.com now. FDI Longevity will help you apply your military skills to the task of saving America through health and financial programs. Contact GCNteam.com. Enlist in GCNteam.com and save America.
Stop aging now. Restore those joints. Boost your strength. Because it's official. NutriMedical has released the most exciting, powerful anti-aging supplement on the market. Dr. Bill Deagle's Red Deer Velvet DR has been approved by the U.S. Patent Office. Imagine stem cell rejuvenation all in one capsule without huge expense. Dr. Bill MD discovered that as an unborn baby grows in the mother's womb, he or she does not deteriorate or physically age. Red Deer Velvet DR, like the uterus, provides 300 biomolecules and 6 hormones protected in one special DR capsule that delivers lipid packages directly into your circulation. This patented technology bypasses the stomach and is released into the small bowel unaltered by digestive enzymes and stomach acid. Remember, Red Deer Velvet DR. Improve endurance, simulate your immune system, increase learning ability, and even improve sexual libido with Red Deer Velvet DR. Click NutriMedical.com. That's NutriMedical.com. Or call toll-free 888-212-8871 and get on the road to a newer, rejuvenated, happier you.
All right, welcome back. Continuing to listen to the weekend edition of the KE Report, and we are now wrapping up this weekend's edition with Mark Chandler, managing partner at Bannockburn Global Forex, also writes the Mark to Market blog. Now, the first three segments of this show we recorded on Wednesday, right before U.S. Thanksgiving, and in all fairness, I was thinking that we were going to really record the whole show before Thanksgiving, but boy, oh boy, the volatility that we saw on Friday warrants a whole other direction for this final segment of the show. So, Mark, I'm glad you could join us to talk about what is a pretty down day on Friday. You look across the board, we have U.S. equity markets all down over 2%. We also have the metals down. We have just a lot of red on the screen, and oil really stands out to me because that's down over $10 today. It's a massive drop for oil, and when you consider oil was above $85 at the end of October, we now have a 20% drop in oil. So before we get into oil, Mark, clearly all of this down action on Friday is due to fears about this new COVID variant. Look, clearly investors are scared. This is on everyone's radar. What do you think is most important to understand and to take away from this big drop we are seeing to end the week?
Yeah, what an amazing move. I mean, these kind of things happen. I mean, we had one, of course, last year when the COVID first struck. Very sharp, dramatic moves, which means that sometimes it's not just fair value that drives these, right? But everybody trying to get out at the same time. And that's the first point I'd make, really, is about market positioning. People with long stocks, they're being forced out of them. Especially, you know, and same thing we see in the currency markets. Those currencies that were strong, were anticipating stronger growth, tightening moves by central banks, those currencies are moving down, while the currencies that are the funding currencies that are used to buy those assets, safe haven currencies like Swiss franc, the euro, the yen, stronger. So and you're right, it's all about this new variant. We really don't know much about it, except it's already been found in three or four different countries outside of Africa. And the issue is that this is the most mutated out of the different strains, and that it's going to take a couple of weeks. So this level of uncertainty That's the second point I really make, is we live in a world that's not so absolute, right? It's a probabilistic world. And so the trajectory that we were on before, it seems to me, the market is saying that there's a lower chance, lower probability that past trajectory is going to continue. With this virus taking us off, and I think that's partly behind the oil. People are worried about the compression of demand. If we have to go back into a lockdown situation, that's really the other point I'd make, is that COVID was on the rise in Europe. Record number of cases, say, in Germany, for example. New lockdowns in Austria, that it was rising in the United States before this new variant. And so it's sort of a bit of a pushing on an open door in the sense of that these forces were developing prior to this big news announcement.
Mark, that's what I wanted to ask you about, because in all fairness, oil was already correcting from 85 down into the mid-70s before this announcement came out. So the direction was already to the downside. And some of the market weakness we were already seeing earlier in the week. So this exasperated it. There's no doubt about it on Friday. But how much do you think this will stick, this fear of this new strain, versus all the other data that's coming in, whether it's the labor markets, the GDP growth, the inflation? I mean, how much does it matter in the bigger scheme of things? Because some of these trends were already in motion, and all this did was accelerate them.
Yeah, I think it accelerated them. I think the question is, for example, how far does oil have to come down before you think that the bull market is over? We've chopped through some very key levels in the January WTI ahead of the weekend, including through the 200-day moving average. That 200-day moving average comes in around 69.75. And I think that's really the issue, is that this all of a sudden, not that the waters were calm, but I think people had a feel for them, or they thought they had a feel for them. But now this thing is sort of dumped on our laps. What does this mean for going to the holiday season? What does this mean for tourism? All this kind of the green shoots of growth, does this just cut them off? And if it does, then we have to begin looking at, the idea of dramatically slower world growth. Change in the monetary policy outlook. Earlier this week, New Zealand did what everybody anticipated them to do, raise rates 25 basis points. There was some marginal disappointment. There were some people who thought they could raise 50 basis points. They did 25. They said they'd be raising rates much more, like 3 or 4 more times next year. And the New Zealand dollar is the weakest of the major currencies this week. And I think it's weak because the market had one price in, and two, it doesn't think it's going to be able to deliver on those future rate hikes.
Mark, we have to consider how investors are viewing this news on the COVID variant, because quite frankly, the way that, let's say, the S&P is setting up just this week, and a lot of this drop is really just predicated on the action on Friday, it's going to be one of the largest drops weekly for the whole year. We go the whole way back to January to see a drop for a week that we are seeing this week. What do you think about the mentality of investors? Because even as Shad was saying, taking into account all this other data that was driving markets, clearly COVID news can take hold and trump everything.
Yeah, I think that's like a wild card. In some ways, a few years ago, it was about what's that unknown thing that could take away, like it could change the dynamics, like a terrorist incident, for example. I think that a lot of people, we've learned for several years, for maybe more than a decade, to buy dips. And I've typically wanted to do that. But this one scares me a bit. I think the uncertainty is going to linger a while. And I can see that other people who might be tempted to pick a bottom are also staying back. Here we are late in the North American session, and the S&Ps haven't even been able to bounce. And so I think that people like me, that mentality, I say, yes, we want to buy in the dip, and that's why we sold into the rally, and we've got the cash, on the sideline, we're ready to buy, but we want to see this thing stabilize and see some more sign of what the impact of this new virus really means.
Well, Mark, it hasn't just been the general markets, and it hasn't just been the commodities that have been all over the place this week and especially today. The currency markets have been a little bit crazy. We were talking off mic before we recorded just how wrong-footed most of the currency traders have been. They were short things that went long and long things that went short. So we're seeing that, you know, the U.S. dollar strength has continued against most currencies, but there's also some of these other major currencies, as you mentioned briefly in one of your opening statements, that like the yen that has been outperforming the euro, but it's been underperforming the dollar. And then there's some of the commodity currencies like the Canadian dollar, like the Aussie, like the Kiwi, that are also, you know, strong. So what do you make of the kind of the mess that the currency markets are in right now?
Yeah, so sometimes I think of the dollar as being like, I mean, it's the primary currency of the world. All these commodities are measured in it. Countries measure their currency's value against it. Reserves are kept in dollars. So sometimes the dollar is the actor. But sometimes the dollar, I find, is at like the middle of a seesaw. And that's where I think it is now. And on one hand, like you say, you've got the Aussie, Canada, Kiwi, Scandinavian currencies that they do well typically in times of strong growth. When they have strong risk appetites. And then the other side of the seesaw are the currencies that typically have low interest rates used for funding. And some people anticipate that funding, and they talk about it as a safe haven. And so I think that's really where we are now, is where those safe haven currencies used as funding currencies are being bought up. You know, the dollar yen is very, to me, is like not quite a car accident, but it's watching closely, like, and trying to get that market sentiment and psychology. Here's what happened. We broke out of a range back in the fall, and it looked like we were moved into a new trading range, roughly 113, roughly 115. A couple weeks ago, we dipped below the lower end of the range, fell to about 112.80 or so, popped right back into the range. Then earlier this week, we're testing the top end of the range. We're fraying it. We got to 115.50. That's where we were Wednesday. Today, we got back down to 113. And I think that one of the things that attracts people to the foreign exchange market is its volatility. And it's the ability to leverage. And I think as traders, we have to decide whether we're in a trading range or whether we're in a trending market. And I think, you know, people look for that breakout, and it punishes you if you're wrong.
All right, Mark, we're wrapping it up here. This wraps up the weekend edition of the KE Report. And boy, oh boy, what a, I think, surprise Friday really was, and has, I'm sure, a lot of traders questioning the direction heading into the end of the year. Mark, thank you very much for joining us this weekend. Everybody, thank you for tuning in. Again, please go back through our website throughout this week. That is kereport.com. Listen to all the daily editorials and listen to all the company updates we recorded and released for all of you. As always, you can always keep in touch with Shad and I through email at fleck@kereport.com or shad@kereport.com. We love hearing from each and every one of you. Everybody, have a great rest of your weekend.
For our upcoming appearance schedule, visit kereport.com. The Corlin Economics Report will be back in just a moment.
It may feel like age is just a number, but the fact is, even if you're healthy and active, your immune system weakens as you get older. And if you're 65 or older, you're at an increased risk for potentially serious illnesses like pneumococcal pneumonia. One way to help protect yourself is to get immunized against vaccine-preventable diseases like pneumococcal pneumonia. Dr. Jorge Gomez shares more on behalf of the American Lung Association.
Pneumococcal pneumonia is a potentially serious bacterial lung disease that can disrupt your life for weeks. Adults 65 or older are over 10 times more likely to be hospitalized with pneumococcal pneumonia than adults 18 to 49. You may also be at increased risk if you have certain chronic health conditions such as asthma, diabetes, or heart disease. If you're 65 or older, vaccination can help prevent pneumococcal pneumonia.
This flu season, visit lung.org/pneumococcal and talk to your doctor or pharmacist about pneumococcal vaccination.
Anytime, any place, anywhere. Radio remains the most intimate of all forms of media. At home, at work, in the car, on smartphones. Over 90% of consumers still listen to radio every week. That makes choosing radio as a place to advertise your business one of the best decisions you can make. Email advertise@gcnlive.com and partner up with an experienced GCN representative. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
Every day, we take steps to keep the people we love safe. But some health risks are easy to miss. Ticks hiding in the yard can spread germs, like the ones that cause Lyme disease. Mice searching for food can spread bacteria that makes us sick. Mosquitoes lay eggs in standing water and can spread West Nile virus and more. Cockroaches are drawn to water in the home, leaving behind allergens that can trigger asthma attacks. Common pests can threaten our health. Learn how to protect your family at PestWorld.org.